Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Verse 4, it says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." Let's skip down to verse 8. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us." So he's got the ultimate duel at high noon, right? He's got the Clint Eastwood music in the background, and Goliath has now stepped out into the middle of this valley. And David, you know, has not even came back onto the scene yet, but God had already begun to stir in the heart and in the life of David. You jump down into verse 10. "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." You got grown men that are hiding now from one guy that's in a valley. You say, well, if you would have seen how big he was and what he was wearing and how, yeah, what he was saying, you'd have probably been hiding too. And you're probably correct. But you got grown men, the armies of Israel now are beginning to hide in fear. All right, in verse 11. But verse 12, the tides begin to turn. Verse 12, the Bible says, "Now David, the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he went and had 8 sons. And the man went among men of an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest of the sons, Jesse, went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of those 3 sons when the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest of the 3 eldest that followed Saul." So it gives you the backstory of who's fighting in the battle. All right, who is sore afraid? Saul, and then David's brothers, David's kin. And as you go and you look into verse 13 and 14, he notes that he's the youngest, all right, of the 3 that's mentioned here. And in verse 15 it says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." And those are the command of Jesse. In verse 17 of chapter 17, verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So David's been given a task at this point. He said, his daddy's told him, "All right, you take this, all right, take this food, and take these cheeses and these loaves, and you go check on your brothers, make sure you give these to the captain." And the Bible then goes on to say that David rose up early in the morning, all right, and he went, and we know the story. He pulls up on scene with his carriage, right, and he shows up, all right, and his brothers are there, and he sees what I believe is that mountain. If you'll let me talk to you for just a few minutes, I want to look at what the valley means, but I want to look at the victory, but I want to then look in the middle at the voice. This valley of Elah, like I said before, David had most likely already seen this valley and these mountains at some point in his life. When he's moving his sheep through and he's watching his herd and he's doing this for his daddy, he's more than likely been here. All right, if he's going to run to the camp, it was probably a rock's throw over there. "I'm going to go take this to my brothers. I know exactly where they're at." He didn't have to GPS him. He didn't have to drop a location, whatever. He went exactly where they were going, and he ran to the camp. The significance of the Valley of Elah. The beginning of the chapter says that they were both on each mountaintop of the valley, and many have said that this valley held the keys to dominance for the nation by the way it was shaped, by the way it was formed, and by the way it was entered. So if they, whoever could take over this valley, they could have a direct passage into Bethlehem and through Judah. All right, so this valley was important. But notice both armies are standing on mountaintops, but they're looking at what has to be in the valley. The valley of Elah was significant. And as David begins to obey his father, and he rises up early in the morning, and he goes and he's pulling up on the scene of the mountain. I can only imagine the signs in the valley that David sees as he's approaching. I wonder if David, as he approaches his brethren, saw something different about the valley that day. Hey, there might have been something different about the mountainside. There might have been something different. So why is all the children of Israel on this side of it, hiding behind the rocks? Why are we on this side? Is not the Philistines on the other side of the battle? I wonder if he had questions when he rolled up and he saw his brothers hiding, and he said, something's not right. I've been here before, and I know the layout of the land, and boys, y'all on the wrong mountainside. And he begins to look and says, half of y'all are hiding. Half of y'all are scared. And he pulls up and he kind of sets his carriage with the carriage keeper. He says, hold on, I got to find out some things for myself. And in that time, David began to say, hey, the words that Daddy has told me and the words that Saul may have told me prior to and me being able to see, I've got to figure out and find out this thing for myself. So he sets his carriage and he walks up and he probably looks at his brothers and says, how y'all doing? I brought you some Big Macs and I double-sized it. I know y'all hungry. How y'all eat? All right, and he's up there talking to him. I've got some Texas toast, and I got all this stuff for you that Daddy sent. Oh, by the way, here's the cheese, the nacho cheese dipped with deer meat and tortilla chips. We're going to pass over to the captains, but hold on a minute. Why are y'all hiding behind a rock? I thought we was Israelites. I thought we was God's people. What are y'all doing? And as he begins to get there and he shows up, the valley looked different. No doubt that there is men in that valley that day that David looked up to as mighty heroes. No doubt that he saw some of his brothers, friends who were soldiers and leaders. And no doubt as he looked across the mountain, he said, why does Saul look so troubled? What's going on at this time? No doubt that he recognized his heroes. And there's also no doubt that he recognized his family as he run up on them. All right, the ones that had always promised it, yeah, we'll be there for you, David, and we'll love you, David, and we're going to cherish you, David. All right, and he saw his family standing there. We got each other's backs, but now the boys are hiding. Mighty Saul's overlooking the valley. Something is wrong. Don't you think David had seen this mountaintop and valley before? I see the significance of the valley here as we go in the first 14 verses here. I see the signs of the valley, and I see a scared army surrounding the valley. There's a self-named champion. You got to watch people that self-named themselves before it's even went down. That's a little strange. There's a self-named champion that comes out and says, I am the champion. He's like, hold on, Hoss, we ain't even fought yet. But he comes out and he's talking to him about himself in third person, that I am this and I am that. And he's calling him out and he says, hey, send me the strongest fella that you got, and I'll show you how strong he is. And I'm gonna let you choose out of your army and out of your people, all right, who you're gonna bring. Y'all bring me the biggest, baddest mug that you got, and I'll show you just how big and bad that I am. So he already made the deal with them. But David's late to the scene to that one. All he can see is what's surrounding him. And as he goes over to verse 20, and as he rose up early in the morning in verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array and the army against army. And David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them, and behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine Goliath, by the name out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words of David heard them. Verse 24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David begins to hear this. He says, oh, whoa, what did you say there? If a man does what, he gets what? And David's beginning to listen in, and he sees his brothers are hiding, and they're supposed to be the elders. They're supposed to be the leaders. And he sees King Saul, in whom he's known, and whom he's made covenants with, and whom he knows eventually that he'll take the place. And David's, what's their problem? Tell me the bounty again. Hey, remind me what's coming to us if we pursue, or if we take out, all right, the one that's hollering that I hear echoing through the woods here or through the valley. And he began to remind him. All right, and he said in verse, 26, David spake and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Whom is uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? So I see scared soldiers. You see Goliath that's seeking for that man. And David, showing up in his youth, says, why not me? Why not myself? You know, God has always sought for a man. God has always looked for a man. The Bible says, and I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And the saddest part of those verses is that at each time he's looking for one, most time he can't find one. And I wonder today that if we was getting ready to go to battle with this world, and we was getting ready to go to battle with the things of this world, and if God stopped by Amazing Grace and says, hey, I'm looking for a man. I need somebody that's going to go stop the reproach of the Philistines. I wonder how long he could stay hanging around and say, can I find one? Would he stop by and would he say, I found none? Boy, what a sombering thought for us men, us men that God has called to lead, right? Men, he never meant for our wives to be spiritual leaders. He never meant for our wives to lead. He calls a man to lead, but I wonder, would he stop by and have to say, I'm going to have to pass on to another spot in Mount Airy somewhere. I'm going to have to go up the road and switch counties to find myself a man. Would he find a man? The significance of the valley, the signs in the valley, scared soldiers surrounding the valley, but there's only one voice. There's only one voice. And he begins to speak up in verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. So there's a voice now that showed up from verse 12 to verse 14. All right, you see the ranking of David. You see the attitude of David. But you see in 23, David has now heard that, I've heard this brute holler out within the valley, and I really don't like what he's saying, basically, is what David has to say. And he said, all of y'all are scared, but is nobody going to step up and go after him? Is nobody going to merge within the valley? People often believe that in the points of these mountaintops where they were at, you couldn't shoot an arrow, it's too far, you couldn't throw a spear. It had to go down into the valley to face that giant. All right, by hand-to-hand combat. And that's what Goliath is saying. Just send me one, buddy. And I won't kill all of y'all. I'll just take his life, and then y'all will serve me. And David's voice is now beginning to be here, and he's asking questions. Wait, he's going to do all this? Wait, nobody's going to step up against what's coming at us? Nobody's going to shut him up of how he's talking about our Lord? In verse 23, he comes on the scene. In verse 24, all the men that are supposed to be fighting with David, the youngest, by the way, have now turned their back on him, and they've gone another way. And David, I believe, is probably left there standing out abroad because he's a youth. He says, who's going to take him out? David, get over here, man. And he's standing there. He's like, guys, are we serious? Are we serious? Verse 24 and verse 28, David finds a new opposition in verse 28. And just like in today's time, men begin to run in fear. Men who are supposed to stand in the gap and defend for the people and the things of God beside the things of God begin hiding in a corner and not allowing that champion of the world to take over their lives. But in verse 28, David now stands in opposition against the giant that is in his valley. But he stands against opposition not only against his size, not only against his youth. Now he's got to stand against his family. That's one of the harder things it is to do sometimes. When you see in verse 28, David has asked, he's just asking simple questions, and he's kind of looking around thinking maybe my older brothers will hear my questions and begin to realize, hey, y'all are the older ones. Y'all are the ones that are supposed to put your best foot forward and step up and handle this thing. Maybe they'll hear me. But what's his family doing? Verse 28, the Bible says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So now he's got his family members coming and asking, David, why are you even here, man? Now these are the same ones that are big and bad in front of David, big and bad in front of the youth, but they're also the same ones that just crawled underneath a rock when Goliath opened his mouth for one time. But they see David there and said, David, just go on, man. You're too young. Hey, where's the sheep daddy gave you? Ain't you got somewhere to be? And they begin to ask him, why do you trouble us? All right, we're trying to fight a battle. Can't you see we're hiding behind rocks and you want to ask stupid questions? David, what's wrong with you? And Eliab gets angry with him. But what I want to look at is the voice of verse 28 and verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? My question to you tonight, Amazing Grace, is there not a cause? You got the valley. You got the signs that David sees when he goes through the valley, pulling up to the valley, up to the mountaintop. You've got the giant that is within the valley that is bashing the things that David loves. He's bashing the God that David loves. He's bashing the God of David's fathers, all right, and of his grandfathers and of his great-grandfathers. And David says, I take that personal. And then David has to go up to that mountain and he sees what's supposed to be his leader, all right, that is now scared, and Saul's looking on the other side and he says, Saul's not going to stand. And he says, my brothers ain't going to stand. And he begins to look at it and says, now you're getting mad at me for wanting to stand. But David looks at him and says, boys, is there not a cause? Have we not been here before? Hey, I might be the youngest out of you. You read a couple of chapters over, he says, but y'all forget. God helped me slay the lion when he come after my fold. God helped me slay the bear when he come after my fold. All right, God has delivered me all these many times. Is there not a cause? David had to be the voice, but when he's the voice, he has to stand up against his family. He has to go against that opposition from his family. Young people, old people, middle-aged people alike, there's going to be some people in your life that you're going to have to face the opposition from. And sadly, sometimes it is our family. Sadly, sometimes it is our friends. Hopefully, most of the time, it's not our leaders. But sadly, there might be sometimes in your life that you're going to have to stand alone or you'll never stand for long. And David said, I purposed in my heart. He said, I remember Samuel telling me the story, all right, in the beginning of the chapter where he set an Ebenezer in his life between Mizpah and Shin. And he said, I remember that. And he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I remember that story from Samuel. And David began to remember all those things God had brought him from and all those things God had done for him. And in his youth, young people, in his youth, he said, though none go with me, still I will follow. In his youth, he says, if my brothers don't want to go, then I'll go. In his youth, he said, if Saul don't want to go, then I'll go. If the armies of Israel don't want to go, then I'll go, because David believed in his heart there is a cause. I got daddy back home. I got a future family back home. I got a nation I got to protect. I got the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I bear with inside. There is a cause. You know what's the problem with the world today? It's not the fact that we're having to watch presidential debates on Tuesday night before 9/11. That's not the problem. You know what the problem is? It's not the public school system that's trying to do all this and that and these and those. The problem is we have forgot what the cause is. We forgot where God brought us from. We don't remember that Ebenezer, all right, that we've set in our lives and is set there and in that stone that says, hey, I'm here to look back at those places, but to move forward in another place. So that one day David could tell his sons and his grandsons and their kids that, hold on, Daddy stood for something. I believed in something. Even if it was worth risking my life. Man, David's young. He's got all his family around him. He didn't succumb to the peer pressure, all right, that is associated with older siblings and older heroes. Man, he is amongst his heroes. And look at what he chooses on down in the chapter a little bit. I'll pray for just a second. I'll read between the lines. He says, I don't want none of that armor, and I don't want none of your flashy stuff, and I don't need the ways of the world to win this battle, because I got a God who's going to deliver me with a rock and a sling. And David said, and I'm going to use that rock and sling because I believe there is a cause. As he looked at his family, he had to say, is there not a cause? Everybody knows the rest of the story of how David then goes down to the in the middle of the battle, and he goes to the brook, and he says, I can't wear all that heavy armor. You got Saul, just let me do it. Just let me do it this way. I'm going to trust God. And it's almost, basically, if you read it, it's almost like Saul said, Godspeed, brother. You know, it's like, if you want to, but I'm going to turn and look the other way. And when he eats you, literally, don't tell Jesse. All right, he's probably done pulled his brothers over here and says, hey, when you get back to the house and you talk to Jesse, don't tell him I let David out there. We'll come up with some other story, all right? All right, and they fist bump and all that. They go back to hiding underneath the rocks, right? And he said, don't tell Jesse when your brother dies. And somebody got to go get them sheep y'all was talking about. Hope y'all know where they're at. Because he's probably expecting this youth is going to go down into this valley and save all of us from a giant. And he begins to do the math on paper, and he's like, yep, that math ain't mathing. Go ahead, David. God bless you, buddy. You can be the first sacrifice. And he's probably thinking, maybe God will use your blood. And then, you know, he's probably churning all those worldly, manly things, right, that we try to, well, if I could do it this way, and if I hit it twice here, it'll go this way, and trying to figure it all out. But David said, there's a cause. God's got this. End of the story, he goes down and he takes up five smooth, slick rocks. He takes that sling, and him and Goliath getting into a shouting match. And Goliath said, I'm bigger than your God. And David said, I'm about to show you how much smaller you are than my God. And he drawled back, Brother Stan, and wham, took one right to the forehead, Landon. And there wasn't no concussion, okay? He's dead. David said, hey, I didn't need no sword from Saul. But I just so happened to just like taking RP's gun and shooting him with it. That's bad when a man takes your gun and shoots you with it. He said, I'm going to take his sword, and I'm going to chop his head off, and I'm going to hold it up like a trophy. And then all my brothers, maybe they'll come out from behind them rocks and take out the rest of them. And that's exactly what he did. He took that man's sword, sliced his head off, held it up, and said, hey, y'all, look here. And his brothers magically got some ambition in their life and said, well, I guess he did do it. Let's go. And they'd be the Comanche Indians come down that mountain. All right, chased them Philistines off. He said, what's that got to do with us? Is there not a cause? I'm reminded of Jesus from the story of is there not a cause? I'm reminded that I'm thankful that Jesus thought there is a cause. I'm reminded that when Jesus left the portals of heaven to put on earthly skin and walked amongst this world and wept like we felt and cried like we cry and had flesh like we had flesh, yet he knew no sin, but he knew, I'm going to leave the portals and the mountaintops of heaven to go down into a wicked valley because there's a giant I've got to destroy named Satan. I'm reminded back in Genesis 3:15 where he says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Hey, it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm thankful that he came down off that mountain and he went into our valley to face our greatest foe. All right, our Goliath, Satan himself, because guess what? I was his brother standing on the mountain. I was Saul standing on the mountain scratching my head saying, I can't defeat him. I cannot take him. We can sneak up behind him and Satan's still going to get us. We can try it our way and Satan's still going to beguile us. We can try it a different way and we can all gang up on him at one time and Satan's still going to take us. And I thought, as I see and I think, man, I could not do it my way. Well, that's why my heavenly David began to come down to this world and walk down into that valley in my life and said, I'll take care of your giant. You take care of everything else. Hey, and when you get done taking care of this giant, take care of the rest of them. And when you put yourself in Ebenezer here, don't you forget that I delivered you from the hand of Satan. Now go forward and help. All right, you see how David goes down and he takes five stones. You know, my Jesus bore five wounds. All right, two in his hand, two in his feet, one in his side. All right, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. All in that valley, just for myself. Is there not a cause tonight? Is there not a cause? We took a bunch of you kids to Carowinds the other day, and I got a bunch of good stories if you want to come see me after, I'll tell you. Okay, are we on live anything? Oh, Lord. Okay, I definitely can't tell you those stories. But come after, and I'll tell you about what your kids did at Carowinds. Well, we went to Carowinds the other day, and me and Miss Madison kind of sat back and just watched the kids a little bit. And if you can sit back and watch the 35 young people that we have, and even more when there's junior church, or just let's just say 50 to 55 youth that we have, and if we can sit back and watch that and say, is there not a cause? And if we can sit back and see that and not say, hey, there is a cause. All right, if you can watch young people experience Jesus Christ for the first time and not believe in your heart, there is a cause. If you can see God begin to move in families and young people begin to accept Jesus Christ and say, there is a cause. Well, I'm thankful that David set the example saying, boys, though it may look rough, though it may look dim, though it may look dark, though it may look like infinite death, there is a cause. And when David stepped out in faith, God took care of the rest. Hey, what is it in your life and my life tonight that we need to step out in faith and say, hey, there is a cause? All right, and the souls that are around me are the cause. What is it that we got to set aside? Maybe some of that armor of Saul that it ain't going to fit, or the way of the world that Saul wanted to do it, and say, no, there's a cause. Jesus Christ took on my Goliath for me. Now I got to tell somebody else how he can take on their Goliath for them. Church tonight, there is a cause. There's young people that still need to step out and do exactly what Addie did Sunday morning and say, hey, there's a cause, and I got a Goliath down in a valley. And I cannot defeat him by myself. I need a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, there's still some adults that need to step out and say, there is a cause. I can't defeat this Goliath. God, give me the strength to overcome it. God, take this Goliath from me. Hey, there's a lost and dying county right here, y'all. There's a lost and dying world around us. Man, I got family members that are going to die and split hell wide open. Brother Stan, is there not a cause? Tonight, is there not a cause? I'm thankful there is a cause. When you see that giant, that Goliath in your life, if you'll step out in faith, God will deliver you. But you first got to have that remembrance of where he's brought you from. Just as David slew the lion and the bear, and he said, I know where God's took me. And y'all, if he's brought me from that, he'll take me over to the other side. There is a cause. Let's pray tonight.